Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. As we come into the winter and start looking toward the end of the year and the holidays under the cloud of this global pandemic, it can feel heavy, like something is dying. Still, death seems to have some interesting overlap with birth. What if this moment could be a signal that something new is being born?
The word nascent feels like an important word this week. The dictionary defines nascent as coming into existence. Not really here yet, probably unnoticed by most people, but part of the reality that will be. Folks, something new is being born. Whether you see it or not, whether you want it or not, something is happening. The seeds for something have been planted, and while the fruit or any signs of it may all be escaping you, it is. It exists. Nascent. I've been talking to people and listening to the news and feel like we're all knee-deep or deeper in crap. It just feels like in so many ways the world is falling apart. I know. There's good news too, but an election that just took everybody, no matter what side they're on, through the ringer and really hasn't let us out yet to the pandemic. Maybe some light at the end of the tunnel, but numbers are still going up. Winter's upon us. No vaccine. And racial justice, I mean, has that even given us a reprieve? Will it for years and years as we try to figure this out and all get on the same page with it? Climate change, I mean, it's like that took a back seat. It needs to come back in the front seat so we can start addressing it. We've been dragged through so much. The world, it just feels like it's falling apart. The pain, the anxiety, the mess that it creates around us. Do you just want to clean it up? Do you just want to like push it all out of the way? Do you just want to pretend it's not there? Do you just want to give up? Are you feeling despair? Are you feeling like, how can the world be falling apart this way? Well, that's one way to look at it. But what if all of those signs that we're seeing aren't signs that everything is falling apart, but signs that something is being born? Something new is being born. I mean, birth is kind of a messy process too. I don't know if you look at a pregnant woman or your pregnant self and say, boy, more beautiful than ever or not. The fact is, it takes a toll on your body. It certainly takes a toll on your life. If you were a couple and had things kind of figured out and had your rhythm going, and all of a sudden you start adding this complication of this new being that's going to join you. Yeah, it's going to throw you for a loop. That's the point, folks. I mean, a lot of stuff feels like it's going wrong, but is it maybe going right and we're just in the part of it that we haven't figured out yet? We don't understand how the pieces are going to be putting together. Are we in the part where you've got to tear something apart before you can build it up? You got to get the pieces loose and free and moldable, the pieces in our society, the pieces within ourselves, so that we can make what needs to be there. These weeks in December, we're going to be looking at something new being born. All through the steps of conceiving and caring and birthing and then raising and letting go this new thing, it's a big process for us to engender. And I'm convinced, I think we all know this to be true, that everything that we are going through can be the sign of one of two things. It can be a sign of everything falling apart, or it can be a sign that something new is being born. And the difference isn't, well, which are we lucky enough to have? Is it, are we going to be lucky and it's something good, or we're unlucky and it's something bad? Is it fate? And I'd say, no, it's not. It's really up to us. It's what we do with this situation, whether we're going to build something from it or whether we're going to just let it fall apart. These weeks isn't just to give us a little upper for Christmas and let us know that, hey, it's not so bad. Maybe something good's going to come out of this, but to help us all understand how something new is born and so that we can see it within ourselves and we can help it happen. It isn't just fate, folks. It's our choices. And it's when we weave our lives together with our true self and with others and that which is bigger and beyond and between us all.
Though my soul may set in darkness, it will rise in perfect light. I have loved the stars too fondly to be fearful of the night. Fearful of the night. Though my soul may set in darkness, it will rise in perfect light.
It's one thing to know that these nascent, these might come into existence things exist around us and within us. It's another to actually be an observer of them. So I thought it would be good for us to be spending some time today talking to people who, in their own worlds and in their own lives, are busy seeing them happen already. I first wanted to talk to my own wife, Chris Meyer. Chris, when we were talking the other day, it made me remember a number of years ago when I wanted to prune the lilacs in the fall, because that's when we were cleaning everything up and they'd gotten really big and bushy and overhanging our porch, and you wouldn't let
me. And I said, no, fall is the wrong time to prune lilacs.
Why is it the wrong time? If we're going into winter, the dumb thing's going to be dead all winter and it's going to come alive. It's in the, everything.
Because lilacs form their flower buds during the summer. So if you cut off the branches in the fall or winter, they won't bloom in the spring.
So they just look like they're just branches, Chris.
Yeah, but there are buds forming, flowers forming. Almost as soon as the flowers are dried up in the springtime, the new buds are starting to form.
So if I looked at those branches now more closely than I have so far,
You'd see those flower buds.
See those buds. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You would. It's like with bulbs in the, we plant bulbs in the fall, and
so
they
die in the winter.
And they know, so they can rest and I guess they get colder in the winter. They need to be cold before they can start to grow. It's a process that lots of plants go through, and in the springtime they can pop out of the ground. So if you plant a bulb in the spring, there are some spring planting bulbs too, I guess. But a lot of our bulbs you need to plant in the fall, and they need to get cold. They need to go through that frozen time before they can.
So there is something going on there. It's not like nothing is there.
No, and actually a really good example of that, if you want to go further, is a lot of us are really anxious to rake the leaves off of our lawn and get rid of those leaves. Yeah, put them in a bag and take them away somewhere.
Get rid of that stuff. It doesn't belong there.
But those brown dead leaves are actually the planet's butterfly nursery. They're home to butterfly and moth larvae, microbes and worms. It's in the leaf litter that a lot of species of butterflies and moths overwinter as in the form of pupae. Some moths make a little, go into the ground just below all the leaves and make a little mud cave and wait under there, and then they come out and emerge in the spring.
Hive.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So, you know, if you have to move them off your grass, push them into the garden or somewhere so that those creatures can continue to live. Even though it looks like everything is dead, there's a lot of life down in there that's just doing what it's supposed to do before it comes out again in the warm weather of the spring.
So let me get this right. Our inclination to clean up our yards and get rid of all this stuff that looks like, I don't want this here. It's messy. Doesn't look good. I want to get rid of it so I can have my nice lawn is actually making my world less like what I want it to be like in the long run.
That's right. That's right. You're getting rid of a lot of the diversity and the
a lot of stuff that
variety.
Is waiting to be born. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already happening now, but I don't see it. I just see dead leaves. I just see branches that are too long and gangly. And
but now that we've talked, you see those buds on the lilac branches. You kind of look at the leaf litter in a different way. It's full of life, teeming with life, even though we can't really see it.
It's already been conceived. It's there. It's waiting. It's not ready to come out yet. It's not born yet, but it's there. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Perfect stars.
Thank you to our friend Tim Francik and his brother Paul for their song, Galileo's Epitaph, that speaks well to what we are discussing today. I also want to welcome today someone whom you are familiar with if you've been listening to these Fabric podcasts. Jeanette Mayle's voice has been with us many a time as she brings poetry to us, but today she is coming to us using another one of her many strengths, and that is how she looks at the world, not only through poetry, but through the lens of a camera as a photographer. So Jeanette, I know you are a keen observer of the world and are always ready to discover something that you didn't know was there before. In fact, I sense that you look for those things, that that's one of your joy points. Where do you have these kinds
Absolutely,
of experiences?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So I just try to be open and receptive to whatever I might see. It can be a walk around my neighborhood on the way to the coffee shop, in which case I usually just have my camera phone with me, you know, whatever works. I'm just always looking the way the light hits something, maybe a texture, anything that catches my eye. It's like I'm on a perpetual treasure hunt is how I think of it. And my little extra piece of that is that, of course, I want to capture what I see. So that can get a little obsessive sometimes.
So let me ask you a question about that, though. Do you want to capture, or is it capturing you?
Both. Very much both. Sometimes there are places where I go looking for treasure, mm-hmm. and a couple of recent examples. I was driving around on a sunny afternoon, rare sunny afternoon, a couple months ago, and I noticed the way an angel statue, a very tall monument, there's a shadow of it on an adjacent very tall monument. And I saw that and I stopped the car. I had to get out and play with it because I love shadows. And then I started playing with my own shadow, gesturing to the shadow angel. And I just felt very compelled to do that and to play with shadows. I love shadows. So like reflections, that's something I look for whenever I'm outdoors and, you know, that happened to catch my eye. And afterwards, as I was looking at the photos and, you know, found the scene that called to me and edited it, I realized that it would go very well with a quote from David White that I had collected. I collect quotes, I collect poems mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. words that really catch my ear, and I like to pair them with images, and I was like, oh, this would be perfect, and that was very satisfying, you know. So that was an example of something I had to get out and shoot. You know, that's happened before. A few years ago, I remember driving around, it was somewhere in the neighborhood, and the way the light was shining through a trio of leaves just really, really grabbed me, and I tried to continue on with my destination, but I found myself circling back and getting out and snapping a shot. And I've actually used that with several quotes. I reposted that recently. So, I mean, things grab me. Surprise. Another time, well, when I was at the cemetery playing with leaf colors, you know, I turned back to the car and saw how the leaf color colorful leaves were reflected on the car, and it was so beautiful. And then I just spent way too much time playing with that, you know, because it just was unbelievably beautiful, those colorful leaves on this dirty car, you know, but it grabbed me.
It strikes me that, you know, you spend a lot of time capturing a shadow or just capturing a scene, and many people may have walked by that already and just not noticed, and it was there whether they did or whether they didn't, and it mm-hmm. was there whether you did or whether you didn't.
Right.
But you did become aware that it was there, and that made a difference. Like mm-hmm. there is a potential that exists all of it on its own, mm-hmm. but for those who have eyes to see.
Yes. And then sometimes the elements are there, and it's just what I do with them. I was in a sunflower field this summer, and there was really only a few minutes of daylight left. And there was a little bit of pressure of, oh my gosh, I only have a little bit of time left to capture this beauty. And I just so happened, we were actually facing a different direction. So my shadow was falling on a pretty large sunflower, and I noticed that. And then I just out of nowhere got the idea to start to intentionally playing with the shadow of my hand on the sunflower. And that's an example of where just something came over me and I went with it, and it felt like the flower and I were connecting.
I like the idea that there are all these things happening. There's all these possibilities, all these moments waiting to be discovered and having something wonderful done with them. And sometimes, as you're saying, you're out looking for it. You know, this is a likely thing. There are going to be hooded mergansers on the pond today. Mm-hmm. And I want to get a good shot. And sometimes you're just walking and all of a sudden you see the reflection of the leaves on the car, and you spend 15 minutes taking pictures of it.
Yes.
And it feels like there's a lot of that in our world today for us to say, well, this doesn't exist yet, but I wonder if I could make it happen. I wonder if I could find it. I wonder if I could begin the process of conceiving this so that it could exist in the world and gradually be born. And then there's also, wow, there are things happening right now. I think about the middle of the pandemic and all the pain we're going through, and someone having the lens to look through that says, well, I see the pain, but I see more than the pain too.
Very much so. And I have to do that for my own sanity, because the pain is overwhelming. And so I do look for beauty deliberately. I look for treasure. I look for moments in the natural world that pull me out of the, I guess you could say, the human realm to some extent. I go back to that feeling of just, it grabbed me and I had to stop and I had to take it in. And, you know, my little extra piece of it is I have to capture it. That's a big part of my treasure collecting, is the sharing of it later. I think because I feel compelled to possibly facilitate for others what is so helpful to me, you know, to pluck a chord of connection or mystery, to foster a pause for perspective, reflection, awareness, remembering the important things that can get so lost in just the day-to-day things that are going on.
Yeah, I think it can be hard when we are pushed, when we are really struggling and feeling a lot of pain. That can be a hard time to be fully present, to start seeing what might be there behind the pain, inside the pain, besides the pain. So you have some devices for helping you do that. I think you use photography.
Yes.
To have something else to look through other than your own senses. Yes. You have poetry that you look at that also renders you defenseless sometimes to see something different.
That's a good way to put it. Defenseless. Yes, exactly. Cuts to the quick, cuts to the core.
Yeah. What's the quote from David White that you had?
Well, it was about help. So the image I ended up posting was of my shadow reaching up to the angel statue, the much taller, grand, fierce, almost looking angel statue. And David White has a very long piece about help in his collection of definitions of words, which is just exquisite. To ask for visible and invisible help, and to ask for the right kind of help, and to ask in a way in which we feel that it is no less our due, that in effect we deserve a visible and invisible helping hand, may be an engine of transformation itself. Our greatest vulnerability is the very door through which we must pass in order to open the next horizon of our lives. David White.
Visible or invisible hand. I've been musing around the conceiving story in the Bible of Mary. And as I read it, the words feel so quaint to me now. I was so used to, you know, the Virgin Mary being approached by the angel Gabriel and talking to her. And I have suspended the question, did it really happen that way or not? To me, that's in my category of unhelpful questions. The question is, what is being told us through that story? And I wonder if this was the way in the first century that someone talked about the fact that Mary was sensing something inside her was happening that could be to her demise, being found pregnant before she's married, or if there was some possibility of greatness here and the potential of greatness was being whispered in her ear and she was being told, don't be afraid. This child is meant for great things. And she decided to believe that. She decided to be that kind of vulnerable, as you're saying, and took that into the world and said, I conceive of something much greater than what the world has typically seen here. And I want to help bear that into the world.
And it will come in a very ordinary format.
It won't just confirm my belief when everyone sees it. It's going to take time.
The dance between the extraordinary and the ordinary.
And when you really get down to it, he didn't come to much. I mean, he didn't even make carpenter status, so. You wake up things inside me which are helpful to see and to hear and to know that they're happening so that I can pursue them rather than maybe where I would have gone otherwise. That's good. Thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome, Greg. Thank you for asking.
A messenger of God came to a young woman named Mary, telling her that she was loved by God. Mary wondered what this could mean, and the message continued. Mary, you have no reason to be afraid. Remember, you are loved by God, and God is always with you. Now you will conceive a child, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. The power of God will be at work within him and shall change the world forever. But Mary said, this can't be. I am not even married. But the messenger insisted, the power of God will be with you too, Mary. A child shall be born. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, here I am. And questions and fears are met with an overwhelming joy that God had chosen her. Oh, what a precious promise Mary waits as heaven. Thank you, Mark Trelsted, for your music as well, reminding us of the promise of that which has been conceived and awaits our attention so that it can grow into the future that we all live into. The last person I want to introduce to you today, however, is Chris Tripolino, best known for his songwriting and leadership with Fabric. Chris, I was really struck the other day when we were talking and you were, should I say complaining? Because you had some songs you were trying to write and a lot of stuff you had to do, but there was another, I don't know if it was a melody or if it was a lyric or what, that was stuck in your head that you just couldn't leave alone and you needed to chase it down. And I was working on these messages right now about how conception happens, you know, and how these seeds are planted within us, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. So that was fascinating. Tell me about that.
Well, I think in that moment it was, there was a song that I wanted to write and I kind of knew how I wanted to write it. Specifically, it was, I wanted something that we could we could sing together as fabric. And what came out was just something that was, it was not singable, you know, I mean, not for a group. And I was really sort of annoyed because I really liked it. It was something that was just emerging and felt right. And so I felt like I had to at least entertain that before I went back and found something else for us to sing together. And a lot of times there is some kind of personality to the muse, the creative inspiration that I get. And I've learned enough to, let that kind of go where it wants to go and try to capture it along the way. But there are some different elements to that of, you know, there's the inspiration itself. And then there's the craft that I put in kind of in tandem with that, you know, to create something, in my case, usually songs. I think there's something really important to me about trying to listen to that thing, even if I'm not going to use it, or it turns out to be something that I don't like, which totally happens. You know, I write songs all the time that I just like, no thanks. I'm not going to use that. And that's.
Yeah. I've heard some of those.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably have actually. But
I think that is really interesting. I think it's really important because it not only gives us a little insight, like how we might write a poem or how we might write a song, but it's saying that there are elements around us, these ideas, these nascent hopes, dreams, possibilities around us, that are always there amid the noise. I mean, because there's lots of stuff going on around you. You can always just like play a song you already written or riff off of something that someone else did. Or, but if we listen to these possibilities there, sometimes it takes us places that we wouldn't have thought we could have gone. And I'm just looking at society today, and I've been reflecting on this with other people in preparation for this podcast. You're hearing some of these voices here today. And I really think in the midst of all of the pain, all the agony, all the anxiety, all the worry, all the noise that's around us today, there are other voices that are saying, no, it isn't just that. There's a possibility here. There's something that can be born. Something new could be born.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that too. And I don't know if I've told you this before, but in the marriage of craft and inspiration itself, for me, one of the things that I've tried to do is to build in some discipline where I'm intentionally doing some songwriting regularly, you know. And so I have on my calendar, actually, I have twice a week a block of time that just says mystical creation. And
I take naps too.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
There's something, like, I could just write songwriting, right? But there's something there that is a little bit of a mindfulness bell for me. It triggers me to say, this isn't just about the grit required to, you know, punch through a couple songs. You know, this is like, pause and listen, and out of the ether, what can I soak in?
I've had these same sorts of experiences myself, around the noticing of things around me, but also in trying to, you know, craft things that I'm going to speak to groups of people, and surprised by what shows up and kind of wondering how it is that I can be available to them. You know, how do I notice? How it has to do with slowing down. It has to do with creating enough quiet enough that usually it's a fairly quiet voice that is trying to catch my attention. The loud noises around us can be the things that are trying to catch our attention and inspire us and move us in great places. But I think often the stuff that's the loudest in our lives and in our world around us are things that maybe drive us towards fear, that drive us towards worry, anxiety, and so we get preoccupied there and we think there's no way out. But when we dig down through the leaves, when we dig down through it all, if we find that there are other voices that are inspiring us.
Sometimes it is the noisy thing that inspires me to look. And so maybe the two approaches or the two realities are not adversarial or don't have to be adversarial, that they can play off of each other a little bit. For me, when the uprisings were going on in Minneapolis surrounding the killing of George Floyd, I was very activated for most of that week and had a lot that I really wanted to express and a lot that I wanted to hear. In that really particular moment, I experienced a strong desire to listen to those deeper voices. Like, what is really going on in me? And what is it that I really want to say that I feel like I need to say? And so it was the buzz that poked me to listen a little deeper. You know, in that moment, I had to listen through the helicopters and the sirens and everything else in order to find my own voice, find the things that were really rumbling within me. But then I felt like I was able to start discovering that in those moments.
I think about that with George Floyd's murder. Your point about that, I think, is a really good example of maybe how this works with us more societally. But here in South Minneapolis, yes, the helicopters, the violence going on, protests and everything have just created literal and figurative noise that wanted to push me, probably want to push all over the edge. I mean, this is horrible. You know, this is what a terrible thing. And among them is a young girl saying, "My dad," referring to George Floyd, "changed the world." Mm-hmm. Something was planted here. Something was conceived here in all of this that will quietly start changing everything. Mm-hmm. If we let it take hold, huh?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having this conversation.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Something new is being born. Listen around you. Listen within you. Listen through all the noise of the world and be surprised. Surprised by the life waiting for you to discover it among the dead leaves of your life. You probably didn't have the Thanksgiving you wanted, and you're likely looking to Christmas and expecting more disappointment. But these days can't be stopped by the circumstances of the moment, and neither can that which has already been conceived. I invite you to join us these weeks as we move towards Christmas, to not dwell on the broken, the missing, or the impossible of which our present pain may be a sign, but the good, the possible, the wonderful of which all this discomfort can also be a sign. Something new is being born.
It's worth keeping this conversation going. Share this podcast with a friend and find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com. You can also go to our contact page or reach out on social media to share your feedback and experiences, because Fabric isn't an organization sharing novel ideas. It's a community of people becoming more deeply woven. Thanks for being part of it.